like I said, you guys are in for a treat. And I'm just going to say, I've known this man that's about to come up here since I was one. So that's about 43 years, y'all. Almost 45, 44. So there's that. Yeah. He was a teenager when I first met him. So there. Yeah, we were in the nursery side by side. Now, our wives will both tell you that our mentality level is still there, man. And when we get together, man, watch out. So it was dangerous the other night. We had dinner, man. I was scared for the people at the tables next to us, man. It was contagious. But anyway, Larry Cohn, man. Larry Cohn. I tell you guys about him. I'm going to say something. Give him a hand as he comes up. I have told y'all time and time again about the man who started ministry under my father in West Virginia, and because of that, the ministry there spread into where he's been having ministry for many years, which enabled us to know Anastasia and Andre and Peter and Larissa, and actually they're coming back in about a month, a little over a month. They're going to come and hang out for almost a month. They're going to be with us this time, and so we're excited about that. But every little bit, every person that you can talk to, that you can influence, man, you never know who's going to be touched or changed because of it. Absolutely. And because of it, my life is better because of you, brother. I love you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, how are y'all? In Russia, I would say, Доброе утро, как дела сегодня? Это хороший, красивый день, да? But here, I'll just say, how y'all doing? It's really good to be here and be with you. We have some special friends with us, Neil and Lois Keller. She and my wife were in the same nursery together. Yeah, like you and I, yes. But Neil and Lois, they come from Charleston, West Virginia, and they have been the people who carry this small community church back up one of what we call the hollers, back up one of the valleys. And they have just been so faithful to God all of their lives. God has used them in so many ways. And they invited us to come and spend some time with them over Flagler's Beach. And we did that, and we've done that. And so far, we haven't had a big fight. Neil has outfished me so far. But the battle's not over yet. But it's just been a joy to be with them, and they're just wonderful people. They're looking for a site that maybe they could come down and spend a little bit more time in this area. So if you know of a rental or something like that, would be on a lake, because he loves to fish. But unfortunately, he has a problem with his legs. He no longer has feeling in his legs, so he has to get around with a rotavator or roller tiller or something like that. And you have a garden for that. Okay, Neil, we've got you all fixed up. But he does need like a handicapped access to a pier or a dock or something like that. If you know of someplace like that, let him know before he leaves. Because if we had our brothers, if we were spending time in Florida, it'd be in this area. Because this is just a beautiful, beautiful area of Florida. And but we appreciate you all so much and all the support you've given us over the years, the financial support, but emotionally and prayerful. That support makes such a huge difference. I just want to give you a brief overview of what's happening in Russia. Things are getting more difficult there for churches. There's a rising sentiment of oppression against some of the churches. And we just ask you to really, really pray. There are individuals who want to close all Protestant churches in Russia, and they only want the state church, which would be the Russian Orthodox Church. And so they make it very, very difficult on any Protestant church to either buy property or fix up a building. We have we just left there not long ago, and there were three churches that we left on Monday, and they didn't know for sure whether or not they would even be able to get into their building on the following Sunday because of regulations that are being over-enforced and causing them difficulty. So just pray for the churches in Russia. In 2019, it was declared across the nation, it was the year of the youth. And many of the pastors who are there now came in the 1991, just whenever the things kind of fell apart for the Soviet Union and the doors opened up and they came in. And now they will have been there for almost 30 years. So now they're getting, some of them, like Toby, are getting up in age. And and so they recognized that what their church had done for them in 1991, letting these young people step out and helping them and supplying finances and encourage them to go and establish churches, that is what they are doing now. That was the whole emphasis of 2019, of empowering these young people and encouraging them to go into full-time ministry. And we had the opportunity, I teach in a Bible school where there are a lot of young people. We have anywhere from 95, sometimes, usually it's around 65, but up to 95 young people that we are teaching them, preparing them to pastor churches. One of the most gratifying things to Mary and myself, and I don't want to give Mary the credit, this gal has done it. She has sacrificed, she has given, she suffers when we travel just so that we can get there and do what we're doing. I love her, and I appreciate her so much. But but when we first started going there, I taught in Bible schools, and I taught these young people, and they went out, and they started pastoring churches. And now, we've been there going there for 26 years. Now, they are sending their children to the Bible school, and when teaching their children, and their children are going out and starting churches. And that, to me, is so gratifying to see that next generation step up. And I'm just so privileged that we just, every time we have a chance to spend with young people, we do it. Helps us feel younger, but we want to leave a part of us with them. You know, to die a selfish life, live a selfish life, just living under yourself, that's not what God ever called us to do. But to give your life away. The experience you have, encouragement, all of these things, give it to these young people and give them a chance to step out and do things that are far beyond our abilities. And we went to a youth conference. They have a national youth conference in the area of, it's called Krim in Russia, Crimea, we would know. It's the area that Russia kind of went in and took away from Ukraine. It's a beautiful area. It's warm weather, kind of like it is down here. But the church is there. They bought a facility. They are now developing that facility. And for 2 weeks in the summer, they have over 2,000 young people come together for praise and worship. I had an opportunity to spend 2 days with them just in teaching, in preparing those who had a desire for full-time ministry. I had 2 whole days, just 8 hours, 16 hours of talking with them, sharing with them, answering their questions. They are all wanting to go into full-time ministry. And they come from all over the nation of Russia, not just one specific area, but all over the nation. And then the second night of the conference, I had a chance to speak to over 2,000 of those young people. And they are just on fire for God. And we are so excited to see that because Russia needs churches. Yesterday, we were fishing on the pier. And I saw a man, he had a sweatshirt on, and it said something Slavic Ministries. And so I just said, "Ah, to Gavrili Poruski? Oh, da, ya Gavrili Poruski? Russians right here. Right here." One of them was a pastor. He pastors a church somewhere in that area, a Slavic church, and we had a chance to share together. Listen, you know what they were talking about? They're raising up their young people, and I'm thinking, raise them up and send them back. Raise them up and send them back. The great, great sadness in my heart is the fact that I see so many of these young people, their aspiration and dream is to come to America. And Russia needs pastors. And Russia needs churches. And so pray with us that God will continue to give us the health and the opportunity to go share with these young people, encourage them in their faith, seeing churches established. God is moving powerfully. And don't let all of the political rhetoric between nations and stuff stop you from loving Russia. They are wonderful, loving, caring people. And God loves them too, I've heard. Amen? Hallelujah. All right. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll dismiss and Right. If you will, Toby wanted me to do all my notes and stuff, and I usually don't do notes. I usually just preach, but I'll try to stay with it. But I've added some, so forgive me. If you guys need to look up Ephesians chapter 1, you can be doing that, because that'll come up here in a little bit. I was thinking about something, and I have to be honest, as Mary and I were coming down, we were listening to radio, and I heard someone talking about this subject, and it kind of brought it up to me, and then I started thinking about it, and I just wanted to add some things to it. But I want to talk to you about churches that are developing a sense of belonging. I think every person wants to belong. And I think that in America, somehow, some way, our churches have kind of lost that desire to include and bring new people in and cause them to feel wanted and valuable. And I just want to talk about that for just a little bit, because you see, it all begins with each one of us. Do I feel that I fit in? Do I feel that I belong? Because once we feel that we belong, then appreciating that fact, that the reality that if I'm not there, they're going to miss me, that begins to do something in the life of a body of Christ. So let's pray right now that God will speak to each one of us personally, and then speak to us as a body, that He will help us to understand a little bit more about people who are out there. See, I like to keep the windows open, because I want us to see there are people out there that we need to reach. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You and I praise You for Your grace and Your goodness. And Lord, I ask You to take this message and don't this just be something that's read off of notes, but let it become a message from the heart of our Heavenly Father, who wants to have this great, big, loving, eternal family, who desires to have sons and daughters. And that, Lord, as the family of God here on this earth, we learn to value each other. We really care for one another. And that one of our greatest desires is to have spiritual babies, that the family of God may increase. Help us get past our hurts and our disappointments and our failures and the failures of others. Help us, Lord, to just be so deeply, deeply confident that we belong in You, that it heals those hurts and it frees us to just love, others. In the same way You have loved us. Lead us and guide us as we go through this time. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Whew. I'm feeling better already. I didn't even get a donut coming in. But I think I almost split the church. I started to stand up with my shirt tail tucked in on this side and untucked on that side, because I heard some people say, "Larry, you need to tuck your shirt in." And others said, "No, we don't tuck our shirts in here." So just forgive me if I look all hung out here, all right? Isn't it good to smile and laugh? Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3. We're going to talk about belonging, and we're just going to use one scripture verse, and I think I can get it done in about 2.5 hours. And it's simply at the baptism of Jesus. It says, they heard a voice that came from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Through the blood of Jesus, Jesus looks at you today and says, this you are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. You are my beloved daughter, in whom I'm well pleased. I'm so glad you're a part of my family. I'm so glad that you're my son. I'm so glad that you're my daughter. You bring joy to my heart. I'm thrilled to see you in the kingdom. I gave my son for you that you might have this opportunity. And I'm so glad that you took that opportunity. Oh, the Father says to each one of us today, you're special. And you're loved. And you're a part of my family. And I'm proud of you. I said, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. You are my child. And through what my son has done, you are my beloved child. You're not just loved, but you are beloved. You hear what I'm saying? You're not just loved, you are beloved. He loves you, and he cares about you. And don't ever forget that. On the darkest day, God is even better. On the darkest day, God's even sweeter. On the darkest day, he wants to be in that part of your life with you. He wants to be in the middle of your mess. He doesn't leave you there. He is with you in the middle of that mess. And you say, oh, but I got there because I made a mistake. It doesn't matter. He loves you, and he's with you in the middle of his mess. He says, I don't care what you've done, how you've got there. You're there. He's with you. He loves you. The doctors can say, it's terminal. There's no hope. Oh, my Father's there. He is with me. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He loves me. I am beloved of my Father. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, help us today to get that in our spirits. It's interesting, and I don't have time to develop, but if you'll get up to Ephesians chapter 1, I want to just show you something, and I've preached for 12 sermons on this. Maybe I'm just slow in getting it developed, but it seems to be an awful lot to be right there. In Ephesians chapter 1, we're looking at verse 3, 4, and 5. Now, I can't preach without Scripture, so forgive me if I'm not like the televangelist. I do use Scriptures. Okay? Sorry. And if you have your Bible, and if you come to church, you ought to have your Bible. Amen? And you ought to have a red Bible. I read my Bible this week. Amen? Amen. Amen. Because that's God's Word to you. That's His love letter to you. You need to be in that Word. But look at what He says here. Paul, I think it is, must be talking to the church in Ephesus. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Look at verse 4. Just as he chose us in him. Who did the choosing? Your Father. Your Father chose you. You have been chosen by God. When I was a little kid, I was once, and I was a little kid, and we played pickup baseball. And you know, I hated it because there was always two captains, and they'd throw the bat, and one would grab the bat, and then they'd do hands over, and whoever got out on the top, they got to choose first. And here's my little hand. Choose me, choose me, choose me. They never chose me first or second or third or fourth or fifth. I was one of those that it got down to when one captain would say to the other, well, you have to take Larry and I'll have to take him. You ever been a part of the have-to team? Oh, it's devastating to a child. Listen, God chose you to be on his side. You have been chosen by God. Hallelujah. just as he's chosen every person on the face of this earth. He chooses us. It's his desire. He chooses you to be a son or a daughter. We haven't chosen him. He's chosen us. Hallelujah. But look at this. When did he choose us? Before the foundation of the world. Before he ever created anything, he said, I want you. I want you. I need a daughter. I need a son. I want you. Before he ever created anything.
Yes. That's
right. Amen. Yes. Woo! Well, there goes evolution right out the door. I believe in creation. And I believe in the Creator. Amen. And so that's what's happening. You got to see that. Before anything ever happened, God had already had a plan. God had already chosen us. Why did he create the earth? Because we need a place to live. It's like, have you ever seen parents? Guess what? We're going to have a baby. We're going to have a baby. And what do? They start preparing a nursery for that baby. Amen? Well, when you look back to Genesis chapter 1, you see 6 days God was creating a nursery. He was building a nursery for his babies. A place where we could live, a place that would sustain us, a place where we could live in fellowship with him. Woo! Whenever he said, you need something to eat, he provided food. Said, you need some water, he created water. Listen, we are living on the only planet throughout the universe that it will sustain the life as we know it right here. It's the only place. That's my Father. That's the one who created that beautiful sunset this morning. That wasn't a sunset. Only if you're in Europe. Beautiful sunrise this morning. Gorgeous. My dad made that. Amen? Someone sent me a note and said, what keeps the ocean in place? My dad keeps the ocean in place. You know, he holds it in the palm of his hand. That's my Father. Look at this. That he should be, that we should be holy. And without blame before him in love. L-O-V-E, love. The love of God. How much he loves you. You. How much he loves you. Well, verse 5. Having predestined. Oh, here we go. Predestination. Having predestined to what? To adoption as sons and daughters by Christ Jesus. To whom? To himself. According to the good pleasure of his will, that translates just because he wanted to. Before anything was ever created, God said, I want to have sons and daughters who will voluntarily worship me and fellowship with me and spend time with me and me with them, because God is love. And love always demands relationship. We are the only creatures that God ever created with the capacity to have a relationship with him. No other creature ever created can have a relationship with him. Only us. When he took that dust and he fashioned it, three eyes, no, two eyes would be enough. Four mouths, no, they only need to talk about once as much as they listen. Two ears, yeah, that works. Yeah, they need four legs, no, two will work. We're going to have them crawl, nah, put them, stand them upright, you know. I want this thing to look good. Says, but we were created in his image. That means that we have the capacity for relationship. And then what did God do? He blew that divine breath of life into our being. And each one of us now becomes a living being, fully capable of having a deep, lasting, loving relationship with the Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the Father. I'm talking about the one who created it all, the one who can make it meet my every need, the one who keeps his eye on me, the one whose ear is always listening, the one who he watches over me and he takes care of me so many times. That is the Father. Now watch this. We know that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right? And we know that they were all together because the Word says, let us make man in our image. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working together. All right? Now then, it was the Father's, his idea, his plan. They all working together in unity. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful when the church serves together in unity? And that's what we're supposed to do, folks. Now, before long, I'll get through the introduction. But I want to just get this foundation down really good. Let's go one more place. Go to, help me, Mary. It must be Jeremiah. Yep, Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah means God exalts. The name means God exalts. God wants each one of you to have the name Jeremiah because he wants to be exalted through your life. He wants others to see himself through your life. You are here to represent God. Amen? That's a high and holy calling. That's a great privilege to be able to do that. Look at Jeremiah chapter 1. And we're just going to look at the verse number 5. Now, well, first, let's look at verse 4. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Your name is the address that God uses to talk to you. Your name is special to God. God knows your name. President Trump doesn't know my name. The governor of Florida doesn't know my name. Very few of you know my name. But you know what? God knows my name. There's old fat Larry Kessler. He's going to be skinny in heaven. Hallelujah. All you thin people down there, you're going to be fat in heaven. That's what's going to make it heaven. Y'all have that temporary feeling of, woo, look at trim little me. Just wait till you get to heaven and have to spend thousands and thousands and thousands a year. We got it, don't we, Toby? Yes, sir. They go call him thin one, me thin two. I want you to see this. Verse 5. God is speaking. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. Oh, we chased one out already. I understand. Before you were born, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Write down these three simple thoughts. First thing, before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. God was already working on you before you ever knew there was a God. Before the foundations of the world, God was already working on you. And guess what? He's still working on us. What a day that will be, whereby Jesus I shall see, when he's finished working on me. Hallelujah. But until then, he's working on us. Are you still with me today? All right. If you get tired, just lift your hand up. We'll say amen and we'll let her go. Okay? Keep going. You were created in such a way that you can have a relationship with your Heavenly Father. Before you were ever born, he was already working on you that you can have that relationship. Every human being has the capacity to have a relationship with their Heavenly Father. Second thing, he says, before you were born, I sanctified you. He's saying, before you were ever born, ever in your mother's womb, I already had a plan for your life. Oh, and it's a good plan. It's the best plan ever. When I was young, and I was once. I had plans. I was going to do this, and I was going to do that, and I was going to make a lot of money, and I was going to have cars and a house and have children. Well, I had that, and I had the most. I was going to have the most beautiful wife. I did get that, you know. And so some of the things, but then I never dreamed I'd become a pastor. You know, what are you talking about? Nah, those guys live poor all the time. I don't want to do that, you know. And yet, God has blessed us. His plan was better than my plan. And when I finally just said, okay, Lord, have at it. No strings attached. I thought I'd already said that once, and I've been pastoring a church, and then I went to Russia, and I'm in a little old church in the middle of nowhere, and all these strange people, and they asked me to preach, and I didn't want to preach because I was tired, and I was hungry, and I was homesick, but I went ahead and preached because that's what God called me to do. And then I thought, okay, that's over now. Get me out of here. And next thing that pastor says, would you service communion? I said, no, I don't want to do that, but you never put... And, oh, I did. I didn't want to do it. I've been there for 3 weeks. I was tired. I was hungry. I was homesick. I just wanted to get home. Had a great church to serve. Just wanted to get home. And I said, no, I'll serve a communion. And those people started coming by, and they'd pinch off a piece of bread and dip it in a cup of wine. And they put it in their mouths, and something happened. All of a sudden, I began to cry, and my heart was broken. And God said, Larry, I love these people. Don't you love them too? Well, yeah, I do. And then the Lord said, well, Larry, if you'll give me control, if you'll give me control, I'm not going to take it, but if you give me control, I'll show you what I can do. And from that point on, God blessed me both with a congregation here in America and then a great family of believers in the nation of Russia. And time after time after time, it was hard to leave here, but it was hard to leave there. But he had a plan. I never dreamed of it. I only thought of it a few years ago when, as a little boy, I know I'm taking too long, but just, I'm an old man, okay, with a young heart. But 6 years old, one of my first memories was sitting on a hard wood pew in a little Baptist church in the hills of West Virginia. Every Wednesday night, our church had prayer meeting, and it was a prayer meeting. The needs were expressed, and then we prayed. And I can remember hearing all those men and women stand and pray and tears rolling down faces and everything. But every Wednesday night, I can remember someone standing up and praying, God, open the doors to Russia. I never, ever dreamed I would be just a small part of the fulfillment of that prayer. We never know the power of prayer. Prayer never dies. It's always moving. It's always living. It's always doing its thing. His word goes forth and it does not return void. But it accomplishes. And I have to believe that because of those prayers that I heard as a small child, that when God spoke to my heart, I heard that voice and I was willing to let him have that control. And I can just only tell you, it's a good life. Hard life, yes. Difficulties, yes. But he is with you because you are chosen. You're his child. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Even when you mess up as bad as I do sometimes, he loves you. Well, I got off my... Forgive me. You were created for relationship. You got it? God has a plan for your life. And a part of that plan, this is point three of the introduction. God always wants you to be a blessing or a giver to others. Give of your time. Give of your energy. Give of your talents. Give what you don't have, and God will give it to you. Pastor Toby talked about doing this work around the church. If we were able, Neil and I would be down here, we'd help you. This guy, he is a builder. He can do about anything. But listen, If you're going to do this, this building is your building. Am I correct? Yeah. Just like your house, you fix your house, you fix your building. So when it's time to do that, everybody, all you gals, everybody can do it. Show up, do something. Amen? Come on, let's get it together. Show up and do something. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I went to a church, served us 2 times as an interim pastor. And we had a work day, and everybody's saying, well, ain't nobody going to show up. That's the way it's always been. They don't show up. And so I just told people, now here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a work day. We're going to start at 9 o'clock, and we're going to finish at 12. We're not going to finish at 12:15. We're not going to finish at 12:30. At 12 o'clock, we finish. I'll give you a meal beforehand, but if I'm going to feed you, you're going to work. Because that's scriptural. Amen. All right? I'm going to feed you oxen. All right? But then you're going to work. We had 73 people sign up. Guess how many showed up? 78. And you know what? In 3 hours' time, we got everything done. The poor guy who was coordinating the whole thing, driving him crazy because he's trying to find more work to do. And he had a big long list, and it was just it all done. It doesn't take much if everybody does a little bit. You know? And you don't have to know how to drive a nail. Somebody will teach you. Just don't hit that nail. Okay? I'm trying to help you, Pastor. Listen. I had a friend in Virginia. He had a work day. About 23 people had said they were going to be there, and 14 showed up. Sunday morning, he got up and he said, listen, he said, if all I've ever taught you is to be in a building at a particular time or to write down notes when I'm preaching, then I have totally failed you. I'm trying to teach you to be people of your word. And if you say you're going to be somewhere, you need to be somewhere. See, I can do that because y'all going to run me out of town anyway, so... You notice how I use the vernacular, y'all. I like that. They don't have a word for y'all in Russia. But I'm going to invent one. I invent Russian words. I give it, and they like them. You know, I do. And I've got some of my students, they come up to me and they use these Russian words that I've created. You know? That's my legacy. All right. Now we got to close here. So I'm going to give you... That's what my mom always taught me. Larry, leave them when they want just a little bit more. And she'd say, Larry, the sermon's over when they quit listening. That's wisdom. Amen? All right. So before you quit listening, let me jump down here. The three elements that make up, that bring together a sense of belonging. And we find it in this Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. This is my son, identity. You are a child of God. God knows you personally. He knows your name. He knows your address. Brother, he knows how many hairs came out of your head when you brushed your hair this morning. Yeah. Ladies, he knows how long you stood in front of that mirror trying to get everything just right. Are you with me? He knows you. God knows me personally. It says, this is my beloved son. God accepts me for who I am. Acceptance. Number one, do you know the people who are in this building? You know, a lot of people don't really know each other in a building that they've been in for a long time together. You know why? Because you come in here and you're all looking at the back of each other's heads. It's true. and you don't spend the time to get to know each other, you don't have fellowship with each other in your homes, you don't do this, you don't do that, and you really don't know who those people are. If new people come in, one of the first most important things you do, what's your name? And get that name and know that name and call them by name. Now, if you get to my age, you have to think, well, you know what I do? Sometimes I say, you know, I've forgotten your name. Tell me your name again. Barbara. Oh, thank you, Barbara. You know, sometimes it's Mary. I'm your husband. I'm your wife, Larry. Oh, okay, thank you. Yeah. If you don't know somebody's name, don't be embarrassed. Ask them their name. My name's Larry. What's your name again? Know people's names. Look them in the eye. I'm glad you're here. Lori, I'm glad you're here. Oh, she sent me a heart. Oh. Do you hear what I'm saying, church? If we're going to be the body of Christ, we've got to know each other. It's more than just being in a building on a Sunday morning. We've got to know each other. Oh, but you don't want to know about me because I... No, I do want to know about you. I care about you. I want to know about you. Don't tell me the glossed over story. Tell me the dirty, nitty gritty details. You're not going to shock me. For real. Thank you, sister. You're not going to shock me. I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to care about you. I don't care what you've done, where you've been. I still love you. Amen? And second thing, approval. We all want approval. I lived for my dad's approval, my natural dad. I lived for his approval. He was my hero. Unsaved, cussed like a sailor, cussed like a farmer, I guess I could say. Cussed like a steel worker, but I loved my dad. I wanted to be just like him. That's why at 10 I started trying to smoke cigarettes behind his back, you know, because as a man, you know, tried to blow that smoke out your nose, and oh, it hurts. You know what I'm talking about? And then you get into chewing the tobacco. Don't ever swallow. Take that from experience. You'll be sorry. We all seek approval, and we need approval. That's why I wore my shirt out today. I wanted to see if I could get some approval just to wear my shirt out. And I didn't want to see my fat belly. So, see, I'll even talk about that, you know. I know I have one or two faults. My wife will tell you about one of them maybe. But do you hear what I'm saying, church? We all got faults. We all got problems. But I love you. I approve of you. We were in a church down here. I know I'm going over now. Little church out in the middle of, what was that called? The forest. Ocala. Pastor friend of mine. He went there as a home missionary. Just to as a children's ministry. Started winning the people of the Lord. Started taking these people who had confessed Christ to other churches around. Guess what? They didn't want them in that church. Because they had tattoos, and they were dirty, and sometimes the women wore shorts, little halter tops, and that pastor couldn't keep his thoughts on his message, you know? That's right. So the man had to start his own church just for those people, because other churches didn't welcome them. They wouldn't approve of them. Do you hear what I'm saying, church? We're all a mess. We're all a mess. And we all need approval, helping each other, encouraging each other, building each other up. Identity, approval, acceptance. I am accepted in the Beloved. God accepts you as you are. Is he going to change you? Probably so. Pachimu, patamushta, Why? Because God has a better plan for your life. He has a better plan. He's got a better way of living. So he's going to change you. I'm glad he changed me. Oh, you'll never believe what a rebellious young kid I was. Oh, yeah, I was mean. Matter of fact, the lady, I thought she was spiritual. Maybe she was, but I thought she was spiritual. I was 10 years old. I went up to her and I called her Aunt Ori. Said, Aunt Ori, I'm going to become a preacher one of these days. She looked at me and she laughed and she said, you're too mean to be a preacher. Broke my heart because I thought she was going to say, encourage me. No, you're too mean to be a preacher. Listen, everybody needs acceptance. None of us is perfect. But we need to accept each other where they are and love them. It's amazing the power of love. It's amazing the power of love. You can try to make people change. They may change something on the outside, but not on the inside. Only love can change a heart. Only love can change a heart. I'm going to close. I want to talk about one last thing, and that was about my mama and my daddy. My mother was married to my father for 52 years. She walked with God. He walked with the devil. He was a good father. He was a good provider. But he hated God. He hated the church. He hated preachers. You can tell Pastor Bill this. I went to the house one day and I said, Dad, God's called me to be a preacher. And he looked at me and he swore. And he said, I can't believe I've raised such a failure. And turned away. That was my father's heart. And it got colder and colder and harder and harder. Until finally, God in his love showed him the reality of hell in a vision. And as my father came out of that vision, he was screaming at the top of his lungs, I don't want to go there. My mother, we were living in Maine at that time, and we'd gone home, and my mother told me about it. And she said, has he said anything to you? And I said, no. And she said, you need to ask him about it. So I did. He didn't want to talk about it, but finally he did. And then at the end of telling me the horror of what he saw and heard, he said this, what do you think it means? And I had to stop and really think because I knew my answer was going to be really, really important. And so I tried to carefully pick my words. Others would have had probably a much better response, but I said this, Dad, in his love, God has shown you where you're going to spend eternity if you don't give your heart to Jesus. And he said, I'll think about it. And I said, Dad, you're old, your health is not good. You better think pretty quick because you don't know how much longer you have. And I said that with tears streaming down my cheeks. 2 weeks later, the first phone call I ever got from my father was on a Sunday afternoon. And he called and he said, I thought you might want to know today I received Jesus Christ in my life. Let me encourage you with two things. Number one, my mother prayed for my father every day for 52 years. Through all of the things he put her through, every day, I could hear her crying his name out to God before she would go to bed every day. Every prayer meeting, she would stand with tears streaming down her face, pray for my husband, he needs Jesus. And she lived Jesus in front of him. She had the ability to get his attention. They were talking about death and funerals. And he says, well, if I go first, I guess you'll have the funeral at the Baptist church. She said, no, I will not. What do you mean? That's where they always have the funerals. She looked at him and she said, Ralph, if you won't go to church with me alive, I'm not going to take you there dead. Now that will get your attention. And she was serious. He knew that. Having a funeral in church doesn't get you to heaven. She could get attention. The other thing I want to leave with you, no matter how far you think people are from God, they're just one short decision away. And if you'll give them identity and give them acceptance and give them approval that they are of worth, your life will have an impact upon their life. The Christ in you will have an impact upon their lives. And no one is beyond salvation. No one. I'd gone to Maine. An old guy came up one Sunday morning and repented. And I prayed with him, gave him a Bible, shared some scriptures, and said, I'll be seeing you next Sunday. And we'll talk. And he went out the door, and one of the deacons came up and said, now, Pastor, don't get too excited. He does that every once in a while. And you know what I said? Well, that may be in the past, but right now he's a child of God. And we're going to serve, and we're going to minister. And that man was in the church for a long, long time. You know? Why? Because you care. Everyone wants a place where they belong. And you're the ones that makes this that place. That people coming through that door for the first time, they sense something different. There's a love here. There's a care here. There's concern. I matter to them. Amen? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this day. And I thank you for this church. Thank you for Pastor Toby and his wife. Thank you for Pastor Bill and Barbara and all of their sweat and tear equity they've poured into this place, into these people. Lord, we ask you to help us as a church. Help us really to have family. Be a real family of God here, caring for one another, encouraging one another, forgiving one another, serving alongside each other, whether we can do what's needed or not. But Lord, help us just get in there. And Lord, you always give the ability to do that which you call us to do.
Thank you, Jesus.
So help us today. Thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, that you can take an old boy out of the country and do something with him. Something that's going to make an impact on the lives of others. God, help us to leave a part of ourselves in the lives of every person we meet. That piece of Jesus that reaches out and touches them with love, with concern. Help us, Lord, to learn to pray diligently and earnestly for people to come into the kingdom of God. To not give up, to not give in. God, I just thank you that you're my Father and that I am loved. You know me. You know my name. You've accepted me, and your stamp of approval is upon my life because of what Jesus has done. I bless you and I praise you. Use this message. Let it touch the hearts of many. Let it be carried as a seed out their lives the rest of this day and on into eternity to bring forth fruit. Fruit that will bear much more fruit. That we are changed. That we are secure in the love that you have for us. That we can be secure in loving others. Despite whatever hurts of the past. We're a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Help us to live in that newness. We thank you and we praise you. Father, bless Toby and bless this church. Continue to lead them as the church is. Victory after victory after victory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Pastor?
Thank you, church.
Oh, man, how many of you were blessed today by that? Amen? One of the things he was just talking about is about getting with our visitors and getting to know them and meeting new people. So I'm going to do something different today. Visitors, this is what we generally do, and I didn't mention this earlier. We didn't welcome you this morning in my haste to get to Larry, get him up here. I knew he was going to go long. Just kidding. But we have a communication card in the pocket in front of you, man. If you would take just a second, fill that out. You can give it to me, or you can put it in the box on the way out the door today. But I want to do this different, because sometimes we come here, and like you said, we don't know the people that are next to us, right? And there may be some people that you don't know, some, and they may be visitors. They may not be visitors. Have you ever said, "Hey, it's good. Thank you for coming. How'd you find out about us?" She's like, "I found out like 3 years ago. I've been coming ever since." You're like, "Oh." I'm glad you're here, right? It's one of those awkward things. So, like I said, I don't usually do this, but if you're a visitor in the house, just put your hand up this morning. I'm gonna do it for a reason. Welcome, thank you guys for coming. You see the people with their hands up? I want you to go meet them, introduce yourself, welcome them into the house. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And one of the things we're gonna do right now before we go out, man, I don't ever want someone to come here that blesses us that we don't bless back again. And he didn't ask for this. He didn't say, "Hey, I'm going to come only if you'll do this." He doesn't ask for anything. Now, we do support his ministry as a church every month. We support them and what they do. But I would like for us right now to bless him and Mary. Yes, we're going to take up an offering. So, again, whatever God has put on your heart, man, give. And know that it goes into good soil. The seed that you're planting goes into good soil to reach others, to reach people that we never will get a chance to see or to meet, and know that it goes to a good place. Amen. So guys, if you would get ready, ushers, if you come forward, and then after that, we're gonna all stand together before we leave out the door and sing a song, and just reflect on who we are, because you know what, I need to hear that I belong sometimes. I need to know that I have approval sometimes. I need to know that I have been accepted sometimes, just the way that I am, just the way that I am. And the amazing thing is when that happens, it gives an availability for change in our lives. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, as we get ready to bless Larry and Mary, Father God, out of the abundance that you've given to us, God, I ask that you would allow it to be multiplied to meet their needs, to be able to take care of the ministry that you have for them. And let us be a part of what they're doing in Russia and all over the country, Father God, as they go to different places and speak in different churches, Father God. I ask that you would help them now, Father God. I ask for a blessing, not only financially, but in their health, Father God. And just allow every aspect and every area of their life to be glorified by you, Father God, and what you do in and through them, Father. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.